Welcome to Leader Insider Secrets, where we get to the source of success. Hear from leaders who bear all and share their insider secrets, along with my episodes aimed at optimizing your performance, productivity, success, and well-being. Hi, my name's Estelle Reed at B.Company, and I'm an executive coach, trainer, and author of Inner Brilliance, Outer Shine, which explores 10 antidotes to imposter syndrome, workaholism, and stress. Okay, let's begin. So I've got Andrew Bridge, who is the managing partner at Fisher German LLP with me, which is a UK-based multidisciplinary property consultancy with 600 people spread over 25 offices. Andrew's a fully qualified chartered surveyor and member of the RICS, with significant experience in business leadership, management, and operations. And I was really grateful to have Andrew endorse my book, Inner Brilliance, Outer Shine, 10 Antidotes to Imposter Syndrome, Workaholism, and Stress. And I thought it would be really great for the audience to hear about Andrew's exec insider secrets, but with a slant towards these topics. So here we are, and welcome, Mr. Bridge. So,
thank you very much. That was, it's bizarre, isn't it? Listening back to someone telling you who you are and what you do.
No, it's a bit like This Is Your Life. Do you remember that program?
I'm way too young for that.
Well, I know we're a similar age, so you must remember it. but seriously, I was thinking about, so whenever I interview someone, I always think about how long have I known them? How do I know them? And I was thinking, I need to fess up that we were neighbours and extremely popular neighbours at that, ladies and gentlemen. But actually, when I met you, you were, I don't know if you remember, it was in winter or winterish. In that not many people would come out on our development. So I didn't even know you were our neighbour. And I was walking down the street, we'd both got dogs, and you said, "Hi, I'm Andrew Bridge, and I'm your client." And I can remember thinking, oh my God, I didn't even know that, you know, I was working for you and you were like the boss man. So yes, that was my first recollection of you. So you were a client before we were neighbours. But yeah, so I feel like I've done my confession now and had to be honest about that.
Do you feel better now you've done your confession?
Yeah, I do. Anyway, so that the audience can get to know you, I am going to do a quick fire round of questions. So the first question is, how long have you been in your current role?
Oh, a tester to start with. So it would be nearly two and a half years.
And how long with the business?
Now that's a slightly longer question. So I left agricultural college back in 1995 and started with the business back then. So I am a one-trick pony when it comes to companies.
Wow. Oh gosh, I didn't know that. That's cool. So if you were to describe a snapshot of an ordinary moment for you in work, what would you be doing?
Talking to people. Just it would be whether it's partners or whether it's colleagues in the business, it's conversation. So as much as you get trained to be able to do everything else associated with running a business or being a chartered surveyor, most of it comes down to having a lot of conversations with individuals about actually what's really going on, and whether that's associated with clients or whether it's actually internally and also with the business now, it's always, yeah, sitting down talking to someone.
Yeah. And interesting that you say what's really going on, and that you're interested in that. And then what do you do with that information once you've got it?
Yeah, depends what the information is, I suppose. But it's, I think it's a massive, to me, a massive part of leadership is about listening. So to be able to get a true understanding of what's going on in the business, you have to be able to relate to what people are going through, what people are experiencing, what they're struggling with, or what they're really enjoying, to then be able to learn and to be able to work out, well, actually, how are we going to adapt our business? How's the business going to evolve to be able to continue to build on that, so that we get to a point whereby you've got a workplace where you've got fully engaged individuals that really enjoy what they do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, cool. You could have just like written the leadership description there, couldn't you? The dictionary. That was very good. So
it's easier. It's easier saying than it is writing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, getting a bit more personal now, what's your morning ritual or routine?
It's changed probably. I suppose lockdown has had a bit of an impact on that. Historically, during the week, it would have been getting up early and potentially travelling to one of the offices to then spend the day in one of the offices talking to people, listening to people, and then back in the car and then back home. So it's probably been more through lockdown has actually been, okay, coming out of lockdown now, hopefully, fingers crossed, starting to revert back to offices, but also spending a bit more time just thinking about things and reflecting and being very focused on what am I going to try and achieve today. And actually, at the end of the day, have I actually got there? So yeah, that's an easy one. You wake up and you, historically, probably I've woken up and you get into it. You start the day, you're buried in the day. And before you know it, you haven't actually achieved any of those things that you thought were really important at the start of the day. Whereas now it's actually being trying to be more conscious of saying, actually, what does a really good day or what does a really good week look like for me? And structuring it slightly more. So, and then building around that, the fact that I've got three kids, one almost 18-year-old and one almost 3-year-old. So there's quite a variance there as well, which adds to the spice of life and keeps me on my toes.
I'm sure it does. And you say, and what would a good week look like for you?
So I think from a personal perspective, it's actually being clear at the outset in respect of if I've got certain key meetings. So if it's about the operational delivery of the business, it's making sure that I feel as though very clear about what a good outcome from a meeting is, why we're having those meetings. So making sure the real purpose is driven from that. Getting an ability to have some positive conversations with people and seeing individuals that are developing and growing through the business. So I'm very fortunate that I know a reasonable number of people in our business relatively well. And it's something that I really enjoy doing. So spending time with them and watching them on their journey. So when you see someone that's recently started with the business and how they are interacting, or someone that's been with the business 20 years and how they've progressed through the business, those are the bits that you can really, you look at the end of the week and go, yeah, that's really positive. I've seen someone's career progress or develop, or we've had some positive wins with clients. Those are the, where you get some positive feedback. It's those bits that really, they mean something because it's genuine. Profitability is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. It's always nice to make sure the figures are aligned. But realistically, it's almost that sort of stuff follows if your people are happy and enjoying what they're doing and your clients are happy and content with the service that they're getting from us. So those are the things that really mean that you have a good week. Positive feedback from people inside the business and positive feedback from clients.
That's great. I love it. Yeah. Superb. So, strange question. What's your favourite meal? Now, I know you're a bit of a foodie. Come on, what's your favourite dish?
Is this something that actually I'm going to a restaurant to be able to order? Is this something that actually is at home? So where are we going with this? Are we pitching this at going out for a fine dining experience, which is just like the ultimate luxury, or are we talking about actually some comfort food?
Give us both.
Okay. All right. You're now opening a massive Pandora's box of opportunities here. So if we're talking about foodie, I've been really fortunate. We've been to some really nice restaurants and both in this country and in other countries. And I would, in a heartbeat, go back to 11 Madison Gardens over in New York and have a meal over there, which was just incredible. That was just that was a fine dining, real win-win. If it's at home, then it's probably with the family, homemade pizzas. So making the pizza dough from scratch and then making pizzas, because that's just something that the kids kind of have grown up around. It's something that we've done for years and years and years. And it's just, to me, it's, yes, yeah, so Will's birthday, so my middle child's birthday a few weeks ago. What do you want for your birthday food? Homemade pizzas, Dad. And that's kind of like, yeah, winner.
That's nice. So it's become a family tradition then.
Yeah, I just need to teach the kids how to make the pizzas, and then it'd be even better then, so that I can be taking a back step and they can take over, bless them.
Now, you'll like this next one. What's on your bedside table or inside your bedside cabinet, if you have one?
Yeah, I do. Your book currently, actually. So as spooky as it is, I could move from over here and go around there and go and get it. Your book is currently sat on my bedside table, which tells you something. One of my in the actual cupboard itself, in the drawer itself, there'll be another book in there, which is one of my all-time favorites, which is Legacy, which is all about the All Blacks and their sort of the importance of various different principles. And Legacy is really important to me, just as a principal, as a partner in a business. That's underlying, but that book itself is just, yeah, I love rugby, I love sports, so I massively can sort of relate to how they operate.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's good. So we're getting a flavour of what you like. Reading's obviously important. And you allow team members to listen to Audible, don't you? Isn't that part of your deal there at Fisher Jones?
So one of the, I suppose we've got this massive drive for continual improvement, continual learning opportunities, and to me, reading or listening to audiobooks is just another means of being able to help people to be able to continue to be able to learn and to be able to improve themselves. So for us, it's one of those things. It was one of our younger partners came to me saying, I think this is a great idea. Yeah. Can we do it? Absolutely. Yeah, of course we can. We'll support it and see how it goes, see what sort of uptake we get from the business. And for some people, it's great. Obviously, it's been impacted to a degree because the pandemic meant that people weren't in their cars as much. And that's when quite a few people would listen to their audiobooks on the way to clients or on the way to and from work. But I think it is. And then there's a little book club that was created along the side of that. So people were discussing which books they'd read and what they felt was really good in those books. And then other. So it was a sharing opportunity as well, of sharing experiences.
That's great. Definitely a growth mindset going on there in your organization, isn't there? So cool.
We've got great people. We've got amazing people. And I know every business says that, and I'm sure every business has great people, but I generally feel our people are amazing. And we want them to be able to be the best that they can be. And to be the best that they can be, that's our responsibility as well as their responsibility. Yeah. So it is working together to be able to allow them. So we use some great people to develop them and train them, present company. And it's one of those things that we've got to look at constant ways of being able to really look at being able to add the marginal gains. So how can we make, if we can take somebody and then add 1%, they're looking to add 1%, and we keep doing that, it breeds this sort of ability to create an organization where everybody is pushing everybody in a really positive way. So not pressure, but it's a self-inbuilt. We're only here once. We're going to make the most of it, and we're going to be the best that we can be. So how can we what can we do to help that?
Yeah, we might as well be our best versions.
Absolutely.
So we're now going to start diving into the book a little bit. So the interview now will be centered around some of the chapters. So chapter one is about knowing your coordinates. So you'll know this through all your reading, that and having read the book and endorsed it, of course, but that whenever we're about to embark on any change, if we want to make a change, then we have to take a measure, don't we? We have to take a measure of where we're at. You know, if you were Roger Bannister, at some stage you'd have timed yourself and then set the aim of, I had to think earlier, was it the 6 minute mile? But it's the 4 minute mile, isn't it?
Is 4 minutes. Yeah, 6 minutes feels like a world record to me personally, but yeah, it's a 4 minute mile.
No, it would be definitely a world record for me. So if we're to think about your coordinates, so what's happening now in your business life? Where are you at? What are you excited about that you're working on?
Yeah, so I suppose, having taken over as managing partner a couple of years ago, that first couple of years has been a bit of a whirlwind. We were very clear in respect of the strategy that we were putting together and trying to get a clear plan. But the speed of change, obviously, it takes time. We're a 60-person partnership, so you've got 60 business owners that you want to try and align so that everybody's buying into both where we are currently and agreeing where we are currently, but also, and as importantly, working out where we're trying to go to and making sure there's a commonality of vision. So I think from an FG point of view, right here, right now, we've been on a journey. We've transitioned the business quite significantly in the last 2 years. And it's now about really dialing down into what our purpose is as a business. And this is, lots of businesses talk about their purpose, and they talk about why they're here. And as a business, I think we've kind of known it, but we've never advertised it. We've never been overt in respect of expressing what our purpose is in life. And it's very clear now that everybody's asking for a business to be more overt. And this is giving us a springboard to be able to say, well, actually here, as a firm of property consultants, in a really, really privileged position to be able to make a difference. So whether that's youngsters that are joining our organization or more experienced older statesmen that have been in the organization for a fair number of years, we still have that ability to be able to influence some of the really big challenges that face society today. And that sounds like a massive statement, and it sounds like quite a grand statement, but if we break it back down into some of the services we provide, you're looking at things like, we've got agribusiness consultants that advise landowners in respect of the quality of their soil. And if anybody's been seeing any of the documentaries or reading any of the articles about how important soil is to our survival as a human race, that's quite a big thing to be involved with. Yeah. We then go on to sustainability, the environment, farming and trees and woodland and forestation. And so I think this, if you look just purely in those areas, and that ignores the fact that we positively influence the built environment. So we have planners that are design building housing schemes that are sorting out some of the housing issues that we face in society, but all the way through to how do we regenerate the high street and what does the high street look like in the future. So we are, as property consultants, because of the breadth of services we provide, we've got to really make sure that the advice that we're giving and our sense of purpose is right at the front of who we are, because that, I think, then is for clients coming to us, actually, they know that we're going to be taking care of their ESG. They know that actually deep down we're dealing with some of these big issues. It may only be small in certain areas at this time, but that will grow and it will snowball. I think that's a really strong message, both internally and externally. We can make a difference. So people that work with or work for FG, you're part of creating change.
Yeah. And that's real legacy stuff again, isn't it? We're back to legacy and what you leave behind.
Well, it comes back to why we're here. So actually, when we're talking about as we are fortunate to be given the opportunity to do what we do, and it's our responsibility to be able to look back with an element of pride and say, look what we've achieved. And hopefully that's not sort of that's not being arrogant or anything like that. It's actually we've got this opportunity. We can't let it pass.
Yeah. What, as you think about what lies ahead, what do you feel challenged by, or what are the challenges that are ahead of either FG, your role?
Yeah, I think challenges are also opportunities. So if we take that and we flip it and we say, okay, what are the opportunities that lie around in front of us? We've got a huge scope of opportunities, because actually the markets are expanding, the built environment is diversifying, just as the rural environment has diversified and will continue to diversify. We talk about Brexit, we talk about the pandemic, we talk about all of these, what are termed as black swan events. Actually, they are all opportunities, they create change. As for me, the biggest opportunity we have as a business is to build a business that is capable of being able to continually evolve and change and transition. So no matter what the next thing is, because we don't know what it is yet, we don't know what the next thing around the corner is going to look like, but we do know it's going to create change. We do know it's going to challenge us. And if we can adapt and we can be in the best possible place to be able to deal with that, then we stand the best possible chance of doing it in the best possible way. So I think that's it's a bit of a flowery answer, but some of these things we don't know what they're going to be. Nobody foresaw the pandemic, or if they did, then it wasn't perceived as being the big thing that it materialized into. And so to me, it's okay, as a business we set ourselves up, and that's part of the growth mindset of individuals as well. How can, if they are of that ilk, then actually these are not problems. These are not things that are negative. These are things that are positive. These are things that actually require a positive mindset, and we'll come up with a solution. It might be different to yesterday. It might even be different to today, but we can create tomorrow. And that's where we need to be.
That's one of the things I love about you, is your positive mindset. And even on the question, you've spun it around and said they are opportunities. I love it. No, it's brilliant. And you're absolutely right, because you know, the minute you do that, for me it feels exciting, because you think, yeah, these are. And the other thing, as I was listening to you, I thought, gosh, yeah, I do remember, you know, remember when we were allowed our one walk a day, and I can remember as a family we were going out for a walk, and you were on the drive, and we were, you know, pandemic had hit. I felt like, I don't know, I'd been dragged through a bush backwards and didn't know which way was up, left, right. But, you know, I remember having those early doors chats about it, and you're just always very level-headed and positive about things. It's, and a little bit later on, I was going to talk about what are your strengths, you know, what do you bring? And that absolutely is one of your strengths, is being able to see things the way that you do. So again, as part of the book, is obviously about imposter syndrome. That's one of the subjects: imposter syndrome, stress, workaholism and stress that are byproducts of imposter syndrome. Now, in a recent study, actually, imposter syndrome is good for us in that it drives our performance up. I can talk about it as some, you know, you don't write a book about imposter syndrome unless you've had it yourself. And, you know, do I slip back into that mindset occasionally? Of course I do. But I know how to get back on the horse effectively. But in this recent survey, it was saying that 70% of people suffer with imposter syndrome. And as I say, there's that interesting connection between it drives performance, but there's also this tipping point where it becomes too much. So, you know, again, talking from personal experience, I've experienced that. I ended up burning out and I ended up getting sick with it. But that, you know, turned into a whole opportunity in a different area of work that I now do with my clients. So, first question is, have you ever experienced imposter syndrome yourself? And if you have, can we talk about it, or tell us about it?
Yeah. I think yes. I haven't met anybody yet who hasn't probably had it in some way. They may not call it that. They may not call it imposter syndrome, but that sort of self-doubt, the fear that exists in everybody that drives us. So again, it's that little bit of insecurity that it ensures that we And is it a positive? Is it a negative? If it goes too far, it's a negative. If it works at the right level, at the optimum amount, it's actually makes you the most driven individual that can be out there. So I think, and at times from a personal perspective, it's probably wobbled over the edge and gone a little bit to a point of, oh my goodness me, can I really do this? And actually you have that sense of responsibility. The fact is when you, in my position, I talk about looking after 600 people and being responsible for 600 people and their families, which then makes it a much bigger figure. And at times when you actually really reflect on that, that's a big responsibility. Don't get me wrong. I know there's bosses out there of all different sizes that look after lots of different numbers of people. But from a personal point of view, and coming from a position whereby this has been an ambition because I want to be able to make a difference. I want to be able to create a legacy. But at times, it does get to a point whereby you're going, oof. And certainly from when you wake up on the 20-somethingth of March 2000 and you think that, oh my goodness me, I've been in this role for less than a year and I now have this responsibility to be able to get this right. I can't mess this up, okay? This is not a trial run. And at that point, you're saying, right, hold on to the cash. Let's make sure we look after our people. That's the priority. Bom, 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 bom. It's you have an element of self-doubt. I think that's completely natural. And I suppose it's that point of having great people around you that can support you and that you can feed off. I'm really fortunate within our business. We've got some really, really good people there that we can come together as a team to be able to support one another. So when someone's having a rough day, you know you've got a shoulder. And also then having friends and family that are around you as well, just to be able to provide that support mechanism. I'm very blessed. You know Rach, my wife, very well. She's a rock. So from that perspective, it does make a big difference if you know you've got that level of support around you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that was going to be my next question in terms of how do you manage that? And of course, you're one step ahead of the game. Yeah, no, that's great. Is there anything else?
I suppose if we go on from there, so from a personal perspective, historically it's been about what can you control. So stereotypically, it's what are those things that are around you that you can heavily influence, heavily control, because that makes you feel as though you are really in it and being able to manage these things. And I suppose for me, that's been, if I look after me on the inside, then I will be able to control everything else. So I exercise, and I make sure that I try and look after myself. So from that point of view, if I'm controlling that, then no matter what else comes inside, then you're doing what you can do. And realistically, you have to appreciate there's some things that are outside your control, and worrying about those things is not going to make any difference whatsoever. So it's at times you just be able to take it back and say, right, This is the bit that I'm in control of. This is the bit that I can look after. As long as I'm doing that, then I'm putting myself in the best place to be able to manage whatever else comes towards me, the business, my family, and then we take it from there.
Yeah, no, that's great. And you're referring to what we call the locus of control. Is the locus of control within us, or do we feel it's outside of us? And it's that whole, you know, control what we can control, just as you've said, and the stuff, everything else, we have to let go of. Who's in? When I was listening to you again, thinking about it's, you know, you being in term, you know, being in the role, it's been again, when I think about the timeline, you know, it's been a bit like Boris, hasn't it? You've had to deal with a lot, haven't you, during that period? You know, talk about baptism of fire.
Yeah, I'd say his role's probably been slightly trickier than mine, but it's all relative. And I think I've been really lucky, again, to be in a position whereby you're looking after a business at this time where those opportunities, those changes are coming at you, and these things are being thrown in. Wow, you don't get a greater opportunity to influence or impact a business than being in charge in those positions. And I'm not, when I say I'm in charge, I'm not in charge. There's lots of people in our business that are in charge. I'm just there, just overseeing, as a guardian that's there to be able to try and make sure that we are all working together as one team to go in the right direction. So the decision making, yes, we make decisions. We have to make some big decisions, but realistically, it's the direction's been set. We know what we're trying to achieve as a business. It's then about empowering those guys around us to be able to. They're the ones that are making the big calls in respect to the work with the clients and the employment of the right people. From my point of view, I'm really lucky that I'm just working with a great team that actually just get on and do it.
Well, I'm interested. So, you know, thinking about you and your role, I know you spoke about being in charge. Not everybody can be a leader. Like, to be honest, I was a rubbish leader. But I recognise that. That's why I just work for myself. I just found it too much and I preferred to focus on other things. So what were the... So we are a product of our childhoods. So what were the experiences, either positive or negative, that have led you to this point to be in the position that you're in? What were those drivers? How have you ended up?
Yeah. So I'm one of four kids. So I've got an older brother. I've then got a younger brother and then a younger sister. And I don't know what their stats are in respect of how each one of those siblings is supposed to react in respect of the stereotyping. But from a personal point of view, I wasn't academic at school. Academia kind of passed me by in a flash. And it was one of those where I was always chasing my tail, always tried, always probably the school report would have been try as hard, but not really going to ever shake the academic tree too hard. So from that point of view, it was, okay, so I focused on sports. I played a lot of sports at school, and I learned how to communicate effectively, very effectively, because if I couldn't do it in the written word and be able to convince people in writing or through exams, then I had to be very convincing when I was talking to people and very authentic and genuine in that regard. So that to me was, and I've always loved standing up in front of people and being able to talk about stuff I really enjoy talking about. So that's never been a problem. A script is a problem because I can't remember it. So scripts are a bit of a nightmare because I know what I'm supposed to be saying, but I then forget it. So then go off track. Speak to anybody in our business, then they'll know that I'm a lot happier unstructured than I am structured. So from that point of view, it was, and then what's the driver? I suppose it's constantly trying to prove a point. It's constantly trying to prove to myself and to make those people around me, so to make people proud of me, I suppose, has driven this type of mentality. And that's been all the way through, whether it's sport and achieving in sport, or whether it's been through business. And when I stopped playing rugby, it was, well, actually my sole focus now is on the business from a work perspective. And actually I want my mum and dad to be proud of what their son's achieved. And that's a massive driver to me, for them to be able to look at me and go, actually, he's not done too bad. He's all right. So I think that's a big driver.
He's done amazingly. You know, and I love the fact that you can do presentations. We've had this conversation before, haven't we? Unscripted, spur of the moment. You know, I'm sat here talking to you. I've got slides in front of me. So that I think, right, okay, what's coming next? So I love, you know, that is such a massive strength to be able to, you know, again, I can hear why you are the leader that you are, and you know, you spend so much time going around and communicating to people. So yeah, I just love the way people become the leaders that they are as a result of those past experiences. And just as I was saying earlier today, that good comes from adversity, doesn't it? You just found a different route.
You have to. You basically, so I'm very fortunate I can do that, but I can't do X, Y, or Z. And you're really good because you can get inside people and you can help them to be the best that they can be. So we've all got our a natural skill set. It's just we're really fortunate if we can find a role or a business or something that allows us to be able to do that. And I think that's where I feel incredibly lucky that the business has supported me throughout my time there to be able to develop from being a graduate through to a surveyor. And then each opportunity is just sort of materialized in front of me to allow me to use the skill set that sort of developed and evolved over time to then allow me to be in the position I'm in now.
Yeah, I love it. And I love it when I interview people. And, oh, yeah, the opportunity just materialized in front of me. You know, just I was just lucky. And you know, and there'll have been so much that you'll have done that will have led to that point. And what you've just said segues very nicely into chapter 4, which is about aligning towards your stars. So what that means typically is being in tune with purpose. Now, I know we've touched on that already today, strengths, values, and also a direction of travel, so a vision. So typically when we tick all of those boxes, that's when people will shine the most, but also when they've offloaded that baggage, you know, that baggage that creates drag. You know, I refer to a sailing metaphor throughout the book. So I talk about baggage. And as I was saying earlier to a coachee, if anyone says they don't have baggage, they are lying, because that's how our personality is formed as a result of those pieces of baggage. But it can drag our ship down or make it more difficult to get to that destination. So what is it? So thinking about that alignment and aligning towards your stars. So what is it that makes you shine? And what I mean by that, so we're talking about inner brilliance, outer shine. So what makes you outperform, bring joy, or makes you succeed? What are those things that need to be in place for you so that you do shine?
I think from a personal perspective, it's about the people. So I've said it pretty much all the way through our conversation, that if you trust and believe in the people around you, and they value you for who you are. So it's not because of anything else. It's actually because you're authentic. It's because you're authenticity. I've said 2 or 3 times as well, that's massive to me. I don't want people to think that he's a leader that's saying these things because he has to say these things. He's a leader saying these things because he genuinely believes them and he cares about them. And that's the bit that having that stage to be able to do those things and to get the engagement, that's the bit that allows me to be able to really be the person I want to be. And I think that's massively powerful then, because I think authenticity and trust are so integral to, certainly within professional services, but just in life, really. Actually, you choose who you surround yourself around, who your friendship group is. You choose all of these different things because you have a feeling, you believe in something, or you want to spend time with those people because you believe in them, and actually you can trust in them. So those are guiding lights. And if you're in a scenario whereby you've got that and you can be the person you really want to be, that allows you to express yourself without fear. That allows you to be able to actually reach the potential. So get that shiny version.
Yeah, I love it. And I love that statement, express yourself without fear. And interestingly, that's something I hear quite a lot when I'm working with people, you know, being safe to be able to be yourself in that moment. And again, we've spoken a lot today about being our best versions of ourselves. And one of the things that enables us to do that is to be able to speak without fear, but to be ourselves without that fear of judgment. And you'll know how important that is because we've done the Manager Leader as Coach program, haven't we, internally? And we've spoken a lot about being non-judgmental with people so that people are free to be themselves. But going back to that fear point, so, and I was saying earlier that one of the things that creates drag on our ship is baggage. And, you know, most people do have baggage. And chapter 6 is about offloading excess baggage. And one of the tools I use is havening.
to get rid of excess baggage or past childhood experiences that are holding a person back. How do you deal with? So there are a number of ways in which we can skin a cat. So we can use techniques or we can use other stuff. What, how do you offload? First, I guess first question is one, how, when do you know that you're holding excess baggage? What are your clues or signs? How do you know you've got drag on your ship?
I think because a lack of clarity starts to materialise in respect of the way you're thinking. And you know when you're sharp, you know when you're actually on it, you get that feeling, you get that buzz. So you, but you have to be really conscious because it's very easy to sort of slip into a position whereby you're not as sharp as you want to be. So, and there are things, and then there's a vagueness potentially associated with your decision-making, which just slows you down a little bit. And it just, you can feel it, but you don't quite know it, if you know what I mean. It's a bit of a grayness associated with it. And then for me, historically, largely, it's been about that element of how can I get myself back into a better headspace. So when I was playing sport, that would just deal with it because it was competitive rugby. You don't get a lot of time to think about anything else. You're just in the moment and you've got a great team around you. And it's all about looking after one another. I suppose with some of the things that we've done at work, actually doing some of the challenges we've done. We've done some great challenges. We've done the three Yorkshire Peaks. We've done the three Peaks. We've done the four Peaks. We've done the Welsh 3000s. So we've done a whole heap of those, and they create a sort of a perspective to life that actually just slows you down and stops you. And then again, for me, it's having sort of training and support from coaches that are actually there to help in respect of identifying the issues, to be able to then assist you with being able to work, whether it's havening or whether it's other ways of being able to just get that little bit of a perspective back on, actually, right, step back before you're going to take two steps forward and let's just work it back out again in respect of where we're going with this. I think it's, if you know whether it's the baggage that you've got, and if we've all got the baggage, how can we streamline it? How can we make sure that actually the drag is minimized and we're as effective as possible? And sometimes that's just acceptance and moving on and just actually saying, you know what, I'm not perfect. I'm never going to be perfect. But actually, if I can make myself a little bit better than I was yesterday, then that's progress and that's happy days. So I think it's those things, and probably not being as harsh on myself at times as well as just taking a step back and going, you know what, actually, maybe that hasn't worked, but this is the reason. And I know it sounds corny, but you learn from it and you, it's a step closer to where you want to get to.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that whole growth mindset again, isn't it? And, you know, Thomas Edison, 101 ways how to not make a light bulb, but, you know, the end result being...
Completely. I think it is that thing. And that's difficult in a business to try and create that. So when I talk about a safe place to fail, actually, it's easy to say the words. It's a lot more difficult to culturally create it. And that's still a work in progress in our business. We want to get to a scenario whereby people are comfortable having a go and it failing. And actually, you know what? That's fine. It's not because we deliberately set out to fail. We deliberately set out to try something. It hasn't worked, but actually we will learn from it and we'll do something different next time. And that's the piece that over time, culturally, if we can really inject that into our business to say, we're creating this opportunity where you can express yourself freely. You can tell me if you think something's wrong and there's no fear. It's fine because we're never going to improve otherwise. And then alongside that, you know what? I'm going to support you to have a go. And if it fails, then we're one step closer to making it different next time. So actually this part of that whole change piece, when what are our biggest challenges, opportunities coming around the corner, we've got to keep having a go at these things. We've got to keep trying different initiatives. And some of them will not work. But if we don't try, then we're not going to find anything that will work either.
Yeah. What a brilliant mindset. I just love it, you know. So this is why I love Fisher German. I've said to you, I've said to Maria, you just got under my skin, and it's because of your culture. It's the way that you manage and lead your people. It's just tip top. It's brilliant.
We're not perfect. We've got a lot of work to do. We've got to make sure that we continue to really build on it. Yeah, we're really fortunate. We've got some great people in our business, but we've still got some real opportunities to continue to be able to build on that, to be able to make sure that we never take anything for granted. We never take anybody's, the fact that they've chosen to join Fisher German, we never take for granted. We want people to be our biggest advocates and to be able to sell our business both internally and externally.
Yeah. Yeah. No, magic stuff. So I'm going to bring things to a conclusion. I knew you'd be honest, authentic, interesting, full of pearls of wisdom, all of that. So I've got a few more questions, if that's all right. Just quick fire round. So.
Yeah, no worries.
What's something people get wrong about you?
Well, I'd say that possibly that they might think I am very outgoing and all the time, whereas actually, you know what, I do like my own space at times. I do like to be able to reflect and spend a bit of time. I make quick decisions, but I also will reflect on those decisions retrospectively and just work it through in my own mind. So yeah, I'm very happy to stand at the front, yeah, but I'm also very happy to sit at the back and listen.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. What's your obsession outside of work?
Well, that would probably be something sporting. It would be, or exercise. I've been thinking about this actually. I haven't said this to Rach, so I have to be very careful now. Talking to you, obviously, it's only between you and me, isn't it? Yeah. It's what's the next challenge going to be? I could do with another challenge. So one of the last ones was cycling from the top of France to the bottom of France. It's actually there's got to be some more challenges out there that just need a little bit of time. So I've got to try and work out how I can fit that into what's a relatively busy schedule.
Yeah, cool. When you think about success, who do you think of? Who springs to mind?
My dad. Dad, every time. Bless him. So that would be my natural default. He's the role model. He's the person I've grown up around. Don't get me wrong, my mum has been phenomenal in respect of raising four kids and that's I suppose the two of them together. You look at that relationship and what they've been able to do. But dad, from a work point of view, I'd be looking up at him and just, yeah, absolutely.
I love it. And do you have a favourite quote or saying that you use?
I probably do. I probably have way too many. That's the problem. I was thinking about this actually. I've written one down. My problem is I can never remember them because they're all quotes, aren't they? Yeah. They're somebody else's words. So yeah. I'm going, oh my goodness. I'll use them and then I'll put them onto a slide and go, yeah, I love that one. Yeah. But actually, it's all off the fly. So it's kind of like, yeah. I'll write that one down. And I said, I was at an event last week where I said, you know what, one of my actions is I'm going to take that one away. I'm going to frame that one. So it's actually going to go in my office and then it's going to be behind me. So when somebody asks me that question, I can just turn my head around and go, that one just there. Yeah. It would probably be one of the ones out of Legacy, but they're all in Maori. So I can't pronounce them, but they are phenomenal. It was something to do with teams. It's something to do with team and people. And actually, so I know there's the Roald Dahl one, which is the strength of the wolf is the pack and the strength of the pack is the wolf. So that,
not heard that.
That's one that I have been able to remember, bizarrely. It was in Jungle Book. So, yeah.
What would you say is, what's your biggest insider secret? And it could be a nugget of genius. It could be just anything you want to tell us about you. What springs to mind?
I haven't had that sort of question asked before. That's a weird one. It's my hidden talent. You know, if I hadn't been able to do this, then I'd try to have been a Donald Duck impersonator.
Do it.
yeah. We're not doing it now, but just when someone says, you know, then that would be, it's for kids' entertainment. It's just something, you know, when they're going bananas, and I could just come out with a bit of Donald Duck. Most of them have no idea who Donald Duck is now. He's not cool enough or popular enough, but hey, it's one of those things that I was probably started doing when I was about 10 and have been able to maintain.
Love it. So to bring things to close, is there anything else that you want listeners to know about you?
No, but I'd be intrigued, I suppose, from a listener's perspective, is feedback. So I ask this every time I'm doing things in respect of either doing videos or doing vlogs to the business. It's constantly I'm always looking for feedback about our business, about me, about our people. It would be one of those whereby if you've heard something on this about the business, about me, then get in touch. Speak to me. Because even if it's something I can do to try and help people, then I'll be intrigued. I'm genuinely wanting to try and make a difference. Or if it's something you want to know more about our business, then again, don't be strangers. Actually, I think sometimes because they look at managing partners, they look at leaders of businesses and go, oh my goodness, they're not normal. They're different. They're different. We're not. We're just human beings that have been very fortunate and very blessed to be in the position that we've been put in. And actually, deep down, we all want people to be able to talk to us and to be able to relate to us. So that would be the sort of the parting. I'm here. I'm normal. I love talking to people. So please contact me.
And that's exactly the ethos of the podcast, is that we're all normal. And even though that you're all these amazing senior leaders and execs, that you're still a human being. So how do people get in touch with you? What's the best? Is it LinkedIn? Is it going on the website? What's the best way of...
The easiest way is they can either go on the company website, so that my email address, andrew.bridge@fishergerman.co.uk, or via LinkedIn. So whichever way is easiest for people to be able to contact me.
Yeah, that's great. And it's fishergerman.co.uk, is it? Yeah, your website.
Yeah.
Cool. That's great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate everything that you've done, endorsing the book, coming on this podcast, being an amazing neighbour. Although we were saying on Sunday, we miss you all so much. We almost felt a little bit sad on Sunday as we waved you off. But sorry, I didn't say it to make you feel bad. I just said it because we really appreciate you all. Anyway, thank you so much. Thank you for listening to Leader Insider Secrets. You can help this podcast grow by leaving an honest review. Also, if you want to get future episodes, remember to hit subscribe. Finally, if you're interested in working with me, you can book a free 30-minute discovery session, or you can connect and access other resources in the link below. I'm Estelle Reed at B.Company, executive coach, trainer, and author. This has been Leader Insider Secrets.